Blog Talk Radio.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why can't my dreams come true? Oh, why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why won't that sun appear?
Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's Good Story is a Good Story, and we have two great authors on today that have been on before, and I really like them both. They're great people, and we're going to have a really good time, but I guess I should say at the beginning what's going on with World of Ink. Okay, we have a lot of shows coming up, and let's see, the Paranormal Hour with Willow, I think that's the next one, Willow Cross, Tracy Ford, and Kelly Abell, and then we have The Writing Mama with Virginia, my partner in this, and paranormal authors. Also, I'm having a paranormal show with Kelly and Kelly Abell. She's also on the other show with Willow, but we're going to have a different kind of show because we're going to talk to the authors. Willow's show is Ghost Investigations, and I'm usually in the background on that because it's a really interesting, exciting show. And Fran will be having a show next week, and we're all here. And R.J. Jeffrey will be probably joining us tonight. But for tonight, well, let's see, and did I forget anything? Probably not. Okay, I have some good shows coming up also. Jack Remick will be on again as my co-host. And so we've got a lot going on at World of Ink, and we have that new show, which is Today's Woman, and that went over really well, and that'll be on once a month. Okay, so I have two wonderful people here. We have John Emil Augustine and Brenda Perlin. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm so happy to have you both on, and, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, but first, before we do that, I want, John has a book coming out, it is out today, so, John, it's all yours. Tell us who you are.
Yeah, I'm John Augustine, and my third book is out. I can't believe I have three already. I don't know where, I don't know who wrote them or who had time to do it.
While you were shrinking,
I guess it was
somebody
me.
Came and wrote them, right?
I guess so. Now, From the Abyss, number three is out, and it just came out, I think, yesterday. And it's kind of exciting to see it after all the grueling hours of reading over every single letter and every single word, you know.
I know. It's nice, you know what, and sometimes you don't, you know, you read over it because you kind of know it so well. It's like you're just reading
yes,
it.
You do.
I know, which is why people...
And then I said, Brenda, will you please read it, Brenda, please? And then she does for me.
What we do for each other, though, that's the thing.
You two are really good friends, and maybe Brenda before. Yeah, actually, I did this on purpose. I didn't call you because usually I call you before Brenda, but I didn't want to call you because I want to know all of this firsthand instead of finding it out over the phone. So everything that's going on with you, you are a busy person, very busy.
Well, me or John?
Well, John is busy too because yes, he is. But Brenda, you are out there. You know, you're also giving reviews. You're doing a lot of other things. So tell us also the first. How you two met, though. It's very interesting. You two are very good friends, and it just came out of nowhere.
Well, it came out of you guys, between you and Fran.
Right.
Thank you very much.
That's
and right. You and Fran Lewis really brought us together.
It's a long time ago. It's like, I think it's like 3 years already, isn't it? Like, it's a long time. It's a while.
Yeah,
that's
I
right.
was so green. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know. Time really flies when you're having a good time. All right. Before we go on, do you want to talk about your books a little? You know, I know you redid some of your books, and that's really a hard procedure to do because I did that. So you want to just go ahead.
Yeah, it's painstaking. But, you know, more than anything, and I think this is a good thing to learn, is, you know, editing and all that and getting the books cleaned up. But most of us get really stuck in repetitive words. And I found with me, I get, you know what, you get used to a certain word and you use it a lot, really and just, and you don't realize you're using it, or for a week you're using simply or perhaps, and it's all over the manuscript unless you have a really good editor that picks that up.
Yeah.
So I had to go through and just really go through the whole manuscript, go through fine, and I might have removed maybe 300 reallys or 250 reallys
really?
In the whole manuscript. So I,
really?
Yeah, really. So,
really?
Really?
Really? That's maybe how we talk.
We talk like that. You're not supposed to write the way we talk.
I know
like
that. Yeah. Well, they say sometimes just talk what you know and keep writing. But no, it's true.
Yeah.
You can't, because you can't. Yeah, then it becomes you, the character, and you're not the character.
Right. Yes,
oh,
it's not good. It doesn't read well.
No.
And so,
right,
you know,
right.
I've really learned. See, I've learned a lot. And I do think my books read cleaner now. And it is hard to read our own books because we've written them, and then we had to read them, and we had to read them again. And you really get blind to your own stuff. So you really need extra eyes, and you need opinions. And you know what? You don't want to put your book out until it's ready, because then you're going to put out a half-assed quality book, and there's too many books that are not that good on the market as it is. So
it's very difficult. It's hard. It's very hard to redo too, because I mean, you know, but you have new covers, and you know, this is. I mean, I've done this a lot. I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, I think sometimes, you know, I don't think it's bad to put a new cover on. I think sometimes it just gives it a fresh new look, also. And you know, sometimes you're in one mood when you do a cover, and then when you want to put out another cover, you're in another, you know, you see something different. We all learn as we go on. So that's what happens.
Yes, and I'm really happy. Stephen Novak does my covers, and he does a great job, and he's really professional.
Yeah,
and I think he did a good job. I think he gave a good feeling of the book. So, I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think people really pay that much attention. I think if a cover's good, that will grab people. But you don't want to have so many different, you know, so many different rewrites and so many different covers that on the same book. Eventually, you do need to walk on and let it go.
Yeah.
And so I do plan to do that. As much as I would like to go back in sometimes, I have to let these three books, they're out,
I know. And the problem is that Amazon doesn't let them go, though. Amazon keeps them on. And, they just, like some of my books, I really wanted them off, because they're just duplicates, but they won't because of, they say because of, you know, people sell books on there, and they, you know, and so that's, are all of yours off? Because mine are not. They just won't.
No, mine are expensive, too. Like, you know, from my original, I was with Publish America, which is a nightmare.
I know.
They're expensive. I mean, you know, the secondhand, whoever's selling them,
I know that.
Whoever's selling them, they're expensive.
I've seen some of my books. I'm not going to be paying what they're asking for that book. For my own book, I wouldn't pay that. Because I don't know how that happens and how they can do that and if they even sell. I mean, but they do that. I don't know where that comes from. But maybe they do sell. We don't get the money for it because we don't even know who's doing it.
No,
we don't know.
Private parties or different booksellers.
Yeah.
But, they put a crazy price, and I can't imagine. You know, I actually had all these copies of Homewrecker. I brought them, which is funny, to the library, and they took them all. So I'm wondering who is reading it. But I hope someone is, you know.
Well, I think that they are, and I think that the libraries do themselves. I talked about this, I think, last week or so. The libraries, you know, they don't have as many signings. They don't do – people really are interested in authors and reading their books. They don't really care who publishes it, and, you know, they really don't. I mean, regular readers, not people on Facebook or other people. So as we go, let's go on to one thing. All right, here we go. I am now – I've mentioned this before my other show. I'm doing Sprout. It's a company like Hootsuite where you can tweet and Facebook in all in one spot. And I kind of like it, and I do, but I'm changing a lot of things. So I was on Facebook the other day, and nobody needs 13 pages. We have a lot because World of Ink and Virginia and I have Family Matters show and my show. So even on the computer, I was laughing. My husband was laughing. I told him. I was trying to do so many things last night that Facebook sent me a message. It's like, wait, we are so confused by what you're doing. Stop. Refresh. And it's like, oh, my God, if they're confused, they should know how I feel. It's very difficult because I heard you can now merge. Did you know about that? You can merge if you have pages.
No.
You can merge some of your pages so they're not, but they have to be exactly what the other page is about. And because lose your likes and all of that, it's really not great for a person that is just starting, because I'm not just starting and I go, oh my God, how do you do all this? You know, it's hard and it's easier just to write. Most of us don't like this. John, how about you? You want to go for that? You like this? I know. We all love marketing so much.
I am trying to reduce the amount of pages that I have, just like you are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have one central location where everything can be disseminated and
leave it at that. Is there such a thing? Can you do it? I've been trying. And every time I take one off, I go, oh, I don't know if I should take that off. And then I put something else in. You know, and
I know how to feel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think really the answer is you don't need that much, but I have to convince myself that every. You know, because if you have pages and you have this one, this many likes and that likes, then you have to go out like I did last night, and I started a new page. Chicago is my hometown, because I figured, well, I'm gonna. You know, do things about Chicago and stuff, because I'm tired of doing my books. And, you know, I don't even do my books, but I do the shows a lot and I post for everybody. So I think that I had to go out and ask for likes, because I think it's true. Isn't it 100 likes, Brenda? You know this, because Brenda, you do this all the time. Isn't it 100 likes or something where you have to have that before the page really gets seen?
Oh, my God. You know what? I honestly do not pay attention to that. But, of course, you want to build up the number of likes you have, and you want to make sure that you have a link where it says shop now. You know, there's certain things, you know, that bring technical things in, so you do need to pay attention to the update.
That's new. Shop now is new.
Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah.
You know, and most people, I actually did that, too. Did you do it?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to do anything, but, yeah, there's always updates and always new things to learn. That's technology. You know, it constantly changes. And if you're not up on it, I mean, in a week, you know, I mean, everything just changes so fast. So, yeah, you really have to go with it. But it can be frustrating, especially on Facebook.
Yes, it's very frustrating. And the bare truth is Facebook isn't really helping like it did before. So I think that, you know, you have to really figure out a solution. My solution is every night I go like, okay, fine, I'm done. After tonight, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to put out the post, and that's the end of it. And that's one night. Then the next night I go, you know, I don't know. I don't think I like the way this looks. Change something else. And then I call Kelly Abell, who does banners for me, and half the time she goes like, what did you want, and what are you doing, and I'm changing this, and I make her crazy, because it's like I always think you need something new, but then again, maybe you do, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, John, I see you have the banner, and it looks really good, and you just leave it. I noticed that you do that. You don't keep changing 100 times like I do. Brenda, I know you change things too, Brenda. I know you do.
Yeah.
But
he's
John,
got a lot going on, though, because he's got his music, he's got his books, he's got, you know, he's really trying to work with people that have been abused. So, I mean, he's got a lot going on.
Yes, yeah.
So maybe you should be changing your banners.
But you know what? I don't even know if that matters. You know, that's one of the things that we all keep doing. And, you know, and lately I've been seeing people on Facebook, you know, it's just like all they do is they're talking about their family and everything. And sometimes, you know, you can get depressed, I think. Do you feel that way? So you look at all these people, this one's sick, that one's sick, this one has a sick baby, and I hate to look at this. This is it's very tough, you know.
It is tough. You want to have some inspiration. You want it not to always be negative.
I think that's true. John, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you do, like, you know, that we were just talking about with the abused women and things like that that you are part of?
Just to piggyback on what you were saying, though, I try to think of, like, branding. That's what I've really been trying to think about that. I mean, if you look at any large company like McDonald's, I mean, they've had the same slogan for 10 years, you know?
I know. I guess that works.
I'm trying to.
I guess it works.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it works for little guys like me, but I was trying to think of how can I brand this, and I don't know if I've really come up with it yet, but.
Well,
so,
I think.
But anyway,
yeah,
yeah.
I think we all try. Let's put it this way: we could say one thing. We all try.
That's mm-hmm.
You know, we try, and that's probably good, but in some ways, then you start losing time on other things that you really like to do. But now that your third book is out, so, and you do music, I know you do everything, so why don't you talk about what you do with women, how you help?
Well, as far as the music goes, the music is sort of the backdrop to all my books. There's nothing specifically about music except where I mention a few times, I think in each book, where, you know, something happens and then, oh, a song came from this, and here's a couple of the lyrics, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to actually let people hear some of that music from the books? And so I'm in the process of putting together a trio so that we can play around in Minneapolis.
That's great. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, and then some of that will be from the books, and some of it will just be, whatever we decide.
Getting out does help. And it also helped the sale of your books because people will start meeting you and knowing you because really, like I said before, people really do enjoy talking to authors. They really like that. You know, and they.
Oh, and I love meeting people. I love talking to people, and that's one thing I feel that I'm really missing in terms of getting my books out and all that kind of stuff. The marketing is actually meeting people face to face. That's.
Yes,
I mean, I taught for a long time, and I just love I love that part of it, and I've sort of been wishing I could find something to do, and I think. For me, doing music is the way to go because it really wraps both things together, the music and the books. There's no separation, you know, it's all part of the same
thing.
Yeah,
because it's art and entertainment. It's art and entertainment is like the same field.
Yep.
I mean, that's what everybody really does, you know, because even when you're trying to take a book to a screenplay or something like that, this is entertainment and this is arts. I mean, this is what this all is. It all, you know, ties in together. You know, and everything we're doing does tie in, but it does seem like we're, like, sometimes overdoing things that may not help, and it just takes away time. There's only so many hours in the day, which, okay, brings me to, okay. Now, this is a question that I know people want to hear about. Okay, Brenda, you republished your books, and it's hard. Do you want to just take a little time and just say how you did all this and how it's going for you? Because a lot of people are afraid to do what you do. They stay with publishers that they just may not be happy with. Not that there's anything wrong with the publishers. They're just not happy with the publishers, what they're doing. They feel that they can do a better job, which I've had three small ones and I'm doing it myself because I feel like I can promote. So step by step, kind of in a, you know, how hard this is, but you did it and how great that is that you did do it.
I like having full control. You know, that's one thing that's really, you do give up when you have a publisher, that you lose control. You can't put your book on sale when you want to. You can't see exactly how many books you've sold. You know, there's so many things that you can't do when you're with a publisher. And here you can really take control because you're doing the marketing whether you're with a publisher or not. I mean, you have to be a public face for your book. And so, you know, for me was first tightening up my books, you know, like I said about the repetitive words and whatever needed to be done. So that was really important to me. I wanted it to read as good as possible. And I had some help, Mary Ann Vernell, who has become a very close friend of mine. She writes books. In fact, I would love for her to come on and talk to you. She writes historical fiction. And
Mary Ann Vernell?
Mary Ann Vernell. And she
lives in
Nebraska. And she's really brilliant. I mean, she's really taught me a lot. And she really stepped out and wanted to help me. I don't know why, but she did. We cleaned up my books, and she helped me put the books on Amazon. So I really can't take responsibility for doing it. She really just step by step. It was like having a teacher. You know, she really.
It is hard, though. I mean, it's really difficult to do all these things, and they do. You know. you know, you say, okay, I'll put it on Amazon. There's a lot entailed in it. There's the author central. There's, you know, looking at certain things, making sure you have the right wording in the description. And there's a lot of things that go into it. It's just not putting it on. And that's, I think people are afraid of that.
There's so many little details, and you don't realize it until you're getting ready to publish that book. You know, like you said, do you have a good description? You know, make sure that your book is well formatted. Do you have, do you know what you're going to charge for the book? Do you know what categories and what tags? And, you know, there's so many things to think about before you actually get the book.
Well, but
book
now they
out.
Don't let you put the tags in like they used to. They did, I think R. Jeffries, I'm going to put him in here, but I'm going to put him on. But
okay.
I think one of the things is that the tags before, you could add tags, you know, right on there. Now it's not the same way as you did before. They did it before.
I'm
genre.
I'm thinking more of the category. I'm thinking of what category to put the book, what's going to sell the book better. So, you're right. They don't let
it's
you put
difficult.
Tags anymore. But,
and it's very difficult,
there's
genre.
There's a lot of things to think about. But you know what? You also have to be, you can't worry about, your ego, and you have to be able to ask for help, And I think that's what's so great about Facebook, though, because if I have a question, I can go on to MasterCoda. I can go on to, there's different sites, and I can get my answers. You know, I can go on to Books Untamed, and I can say, I have this question, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I'll get an answer that same day.
Yeah.
So,
I think that is, because
we
all need help. And right. And the other thing is, everybody can learn from other things. And, so I say everything that I've done, and it's not really mistakes, I guess it's just a learning lesson. And no matter, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's still, you learn different things. And I think that having all these people out there is a good thing. However, you just got to make sure that the people know what they're doing, because unfortunately there are a lot of people out there that don't know what they're doing, which I will bring out somebody that does know what he's doing. All right, RJ Jeffrey, how are you? I know that you're in here.
I got tied up there with some business.
That's okay. You're out there late at night. This is when you go out and post things.
I'm out there all the time, Marcia. I mean, if I get 6 hours of sleep, I'm like Edison was. That's good for me. That's a good night's sleep.
I know you wanted to talk with Brenda, and I don't know if you've met John. This is John. He's been on several times. These are my favorites. People coming on, because we haven't had them for a while together. Last time, John, you were not with.
I'm a fan of your work, and we've had a nice connection on Facebook, and thank you for your support of my work on there.
Thank you.
Well, Brenda's very supportive. She is a really supportive, and you know this. She's very supportive of other authors, and that's really nice. I mean, in a very unselfish way. You are. You're great. I mean, you are.
You know
you
what? I think a lot of people are competitive, and I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, because they are competitive to a fault sometimes, because they're not they don't want to help anybody else. And that's kind of sad, because, really writing, you need help. I mean, like you said before, you need somebody in their eye, somebody looking at something. I mean, because everybody doesn't know everything. We're not born knowing how to publish books and market it and do everything. It's impossible to know it all.
And you know what? And I think what you've learned, too, is that you have to pay it forward. If you just ask for help for everything, and it's just me all the time, forget it. You're going to be lost. You need to be able to go, I want to help this person, and not always look for tit for tat, and eventually it'll come around and people will want to help you too. And so I think that's a big education that people could learn, And,
well, John, he's always supportive, and I always say this because I know he might be at lunch. I see all of a sudden he comes in, he puts something out, and I do appreciate it, because I know that you're busy, but, the two of you both, I mean, that's why, it's great that you're friends, but you really are supportive of the World of Ink. You do support the World of Ink, and RJ, we know this because, we see, and you are very, you both. I mean, John,
Thank you
have always been there. Every time I put that, I go like, oh, there he is, putting something out. Because I don't look through, because it's very hard on Facebook, because they're not sharing a lot of stuff. So we're all, it looks like a lot of people aren't looking at things, but that's really not true. There are people looking. It's just that they're not showing it. I really believe that. Anybody else have comments on how they feel?
Brenda, I think what you said was so important. The operative word is unconditional. If someone asks for your help, support, and you give it to them without any agenda, and you don't expect anything back, it's truly paying it forward. I believe you. I think you pretty much, well, Marcia, you know that very well. And Brenda,
yeah.
I think you do too, that I, every day on my timeline with, you know, all the thousands of friends and followers, and I'm so blessed for that, I want to focus on something that might be interesting, but especially someone who may not get recognition. I like their work. I'm a fan of theirs. They don't have the
yeah.
social networking I have or the scope of that. So put the spotlight on for the day and let them get recognized. And who knows?
Yeah. It's just a question of, you know, it's not even a question of for me to pay it forward or whatever. I just think that, you know, I like to share these things. When they have real, you know, I have to read everything because I'm afraid if I share something that it might not be something I want to share. So I do look at it. That's what Twitter, it does drive me crazy a little, even though I'm trying to tweet a lot. It's just I want to know exactly what I'm tweeting. So I have to open it and see because sometimes you really can't just tweet something because what if it's not what you want to say, you know, going out there as you. So I think that's a little difficult. Facebook, you like see everything, but when you're tweeting, you got to sometimes open it up to see exactly what you're tweeting.
You're right. You're right. And you know what? Who knows? Yeah, it's yeah. Twitter can be crazy because you're tweeting a lot of things that you don't even know what they are. You're just doing it. You're caught up in doing retweets and
I know. You got to be
so
careful
much.
Though.
I start my days with all my tabs open. That's how I start my morning. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Goodreads, Amazon, all of my websites, the World of Inc., you go through the tabs. There's just so much information. That's the problem. A lot of people vying for that attention. They want to just get that little recognition. But you have to be so qualitative about it. You just can't send it out in the world. You know what I mean? It's like casting a hook into the ocean expecting to catch a whale. You have to pick your spot and just and see if you get a nibble and just be patient with it. Patience is paramount as well. But I, again, couldn't agree more about having peers. John and Brenda, your relationship is wonderful. I have the same with Marcia.
Oh, it's the greatest. Yeah, it is good when you have, you know, a relationship. You know, this is a question that, you know, we were talking about, I had Elizabeth Black on with Trent Szelasny, and we were talking about how we write. And I was mentioning that I write. Sometimes I do longhand because I just write. I talk as fast as I talk. I can't type as fast as I talk. So when I'm writing, I write like, you know, I just really write fast. So and then I get the gist of my story, and then I go back and put it on the computer. John, what do you do? How do you just go right to the computer?
Yeah, I think generally I get on Facebook, and then I every week I have my tweets that I send out, but I program them all for the week.
But when you're writing a story, when you're writing your stories, because you're working full time, where do you write? I mean, you have kids, and you know it's busy in your house. So when do you find time to write?
I write on my days off, and I develop the ideas at work. And then I come home and write them.
Yep. It's like another job. It
That's
is
so
another
hard.
Job. It's another
That's
job.
So hard
it is another
you
job.
You have to hold it. You have to hold it in your brain until you get home. That's hard.
Well, do you make notes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you make notes? I do. I write notes if I'm not home.
Once in a while, if I think of some good wording.
Yeah, because otherwise you forget. I mean, I do. I forget it because it's just that scene. It comes to your head, and then you see it. And then if you don't write it, you may forget it because then another scene or something. I look at it as scenes, you know, because I did screenplays. So for me, I keep calling them scenes, but for me they are. I look at it that way. Brenda, where do you write best? You said when
you
go to coffee shops like I do. I mean, I sometimes do that.
That's what I used to do, though. That
yes,
was
I saw
what
that.
I
do that.
I haven't done that in years. Now I'm I could write anywhere, but I'm mostly home, and I'm on my computer. It's different because I'm not writing freehand anymore, so I don't need to go to a coffee shop and get away. So I'm at home, and I'll either be in my bike with my laptop, and I'll write there, or I have a place in the kitchen that I can sit there for, I don't know, I'm like tied to the chair for 8 hours at a time. And that's
you write
where,
8 hours
you know,
at a time? You write 8 hours at a time?
No, I'm on the computer for it, sadly.
Oh,
I hardly write, you know. I hardly write. It's sad. I hardly write. I'm too busy marketing. And, you know, I'm working on a story right now. And then as soon as that's out, I don't know that I will write any more books. But, yeah, I don't write
I know
that
you
much,
say that,
I'm
and
really
I really
inspired.
Hope. I was going to ask you, and I hope you don't do that, because I really you do write. I'm sure there's more in you.
Thank
if not,
you.
If
you
not,
know, like
you should
write,
open up a marketing. If not, opening a marketing company because you are excellent at it, and I think you are. I mean, you do. You are. You know what to do, and you, you know, you have events, and you know, and you've run events, which is another thing. Like I should say one thing. What's happening on Facebook? I hope people understand that I'm not really having events, but I think RJ, have you noticed that when we put our shows in now with World of Ink, it goes out as an event. So I just noticed it again today, and it's looking like an event. And so people aren't signing up a lot of times now for all events because they may want to attend, but they don't want to say they're going to attend because otherwise they feel obligated. So that's what's happening with the shows. I don't know. So if you see the events for the shows, it's just actually to let people know we're having a show. It's not a special event. It's just what we do regularly. Have you seen that, RJ? Have you seen it?
Facebook is doing a lot of weird things. I mean, they are reducing the amount of posts that we see, that each of us see on our friends list, on our fans list, doing all kinds of things. So you never know from day to day. I always say it like that Facebook continues to keep breaking it better and better every day. So you just work within the change. Focus on what's important. Brenda, you said it so well, too. Be organized. Have a focus of what you're going to have your focal point. Focus on that and go on to the next one in a very linear way. You have to do it that way. You get.
Yeah, I think so, you know. And I mean, you know, when you are working full-time or when you have kids or whatever it is difficult to work. And, you know, what you're saying, like marketing is working. It's harder than writing. I mean, writing is like nothing now compared to all this marketing. It's like I feel like I'm on a vacation when I'm writing, not marketing.
It's true.
Because marketing is, you know, and you don't want to market too much. I remember when we first started doing Red River Radio shows, we were, you know, I used to laugh and go, like, why is April? April was, she was the owner of it, and she would be marketing and marketing. And I'm like, why does she keep doing this? And now I get it. You have to get the shows out. And it's like, because we kept seeing marketing and marketing, and that was 5 years ago, but, you know, it's grown so much. But in that 5 years, what's happened is you're losing track of a lot of friends that you had 5 years ago. You have no idea where they are. You have to go reinvent yourself sometimes to see them. I mean, wouldn't you agree that in the 5 years, I think that we've been, I don't know, I've been doing it 5 years. RJ, what about you, Jeff? You?
Well, everything's changed. Everything's in flux.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole publishing industry has changed with indies and with Smashwords and Create Space, everybody publishing their own books. Amazon accepts those, the Kindle, all of the, you know, be able to read it on all these mobile devices. Everything's evolving. You really do have to every day go out and do a little research, see what's new and see if it's appropriate and applicable to you, and find out about it. You really have to stay in the cutting edge.
And I think, too, you have to be authentic. I think that's a big part, too. If you're just trying to sell books and you're just trying to, you know, feed it to people, if you're not authentic, people will feel it. So I think that, you know, you have to build relationship with people. And I think you have to be real. And if you're not, you know, like a shoe salesman, people will feel that. And so, you know, you have to believe in your work. And if you don't believe in your work, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big thing. You have to really believe that it will help people.
Right, true. There's still traditional publishing is, you know, the old publishing model is it's not gone. You know, you write your book, you create an event, you find a place to have a reading, let the people close to you know, and you widen that circle with social networking, and that's how you begin that process. But you're right, to throw it out in the world and go, look at this, people, there's so much data coming in and input. People will not. If they recognize it, they'll go, I don't have time for that. So be selective.
Yeah.
And then as you get, you know, like that exponential effect, they know, they tell some other people, like that old commercial, I'm dating myself, you know, wash my hair, you tell someone and she tells someone. But it's true.
Right.
Let's just
do
its thing and work in its own dynamism.
Well, that's basically what this is. It's like you tell one person and you hope to tell the other person. But the problem is the other person, they don't share it. And that's the bad part, because you're sharing theirs and then they don't share it. And what's happening is what happened years
ago. People that are there in your immediate circle that have a wide scope as well. And that's what starts it exponentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I just think, you know, all right. So, John, what are you working on now? Are you working on something? You're doing your music. And that, that's like your first love, is that it? Is that what you're really loving?
Well, that's how I learned to write, was music.
Through music.
But just to add to what you're talking about, I think the one thing that I've been very lucky, and I don't know how it happened, but I've been very lucky to have made relationships with readers. And
that's the number one thing. The number one.
Those readers like Teresa Myrick and a few others have been very, very helpful to me and really have stuck with me during ups and downs and all that kind of stuff. And
do you want to talk about that for a second? Do you want to talk about how you got to be doing that? Because that is the number one thing that is hard to do, get the readers. How did you start getting people interested that were readers?
Well, to begin with, I think I wrote a good story. And I think that has at least hooked, you know, a handful of people. And
Because you wrote from the heart, you think that also has a lot to do with it. Brenda, too, both of
them. Oh, yeah.
Very, very unique stories. So I think when people feel that.
Absolutely.
What you wanted to read, John. And that's if you don't like your own work, how can you expect other people to really like it and get endeared to it? Yep. That's the key as well.
Yeah, I think as an extension of what I wrote, I mean, I live what I wrote, you know, so everything that I do is completely consistent with that, and I think
a
few people have taken notice.
They might not know what books are about. Why don't you talk a little bit about that for a second, and then I want to have Brenda a little talk about it, because, you know, we talk about books, but I really think that, let's talk about what your book is about. For you.
Sure, and Brenda and I both kind of did the same thing. You know, they say write what you know, and we really took that to heart. We both wrote about our experience with abuse and relationships, and my third book ends up being sort of an extension of that, but it's an experience on sort of the outer fringes of society, you know, because of poverty and so on and so forth. It's a good story, but you also kind of learn about the real basic human needs and desires, and makes you sort of think about how would you have handled things, and it gets a little deeper than your average novel.
Yeah, because it's hard to put out your emotions, you know, as you, as a person, and that comes through. And Brenda, I mean, when I first met you, you were not happy with yourself about what you were having to write, but you wrote a good book. So go ahead. Why don't you talk a little bit about how this came to you?
That part was easy, though. I don't have a problem sharing like that. You know, with mine, my story was out in the open. I mean, I had a really ugly divorce, and all, my husband spewed all this information about me. I mean, it was ugly. And so I figured after that, I had nothing else to hide. So I had the story, and I just came out. You know, I pretty much vomited it all out. And, you know, people keep saying how brave I was, how brave John is. I think John has the same thing that I have. We had stories that we needed to tell, and maybe not just for our own comfort, but I think for other people to know that, you know what, you could make a change in your life, and it could be for the better. You know, you should never have to give up hope, that you can move on and you can have a better life. You know,
which is actually one of the reasons how I had both of you on at the same time on the show, because Fran and we talked about what you both wrote, when, you know, what John was talking about, and then I had already talked to you, and I thought this would be something very interesting, because the two of you were on opposite ends of different types of bad relationships, and this bringing it out really helped you develop a great friendship, which most people never have a friendship like that, but you absolutely understand each other. And we're always there.
We can relate to each other, I think. And I think, you know, John is really a good person. He is a really giving person.
Yes.
And I think he was giving to me when I really didn't have a lot to give back. And he's just special that way. So it was easy.
But you say that, but you say that, but you give so much, you have no idea. Every time you say that, I can't even understand it because you are so giving, Brenda. And I know when you say that, it's like, I mean, anybody out there could see what you're giving to everybody else. And, John, we know this about you, you know, but that was one of the things. But you wrote about that, and but having readers understand you because each of you had their own circumstances. And I think you're probably right. That's what people, you know, I was mentioning to someone, you know, before about, you know, a few days ago, we were talking about something, the fact that when you write a nonfiction book or when you write a book like about a person, years ago, I think people were only looking for books that were stars or, you know, they had the walk, you know, Hollywood Walk of Fame, whatever, they're all on this. But I think people now really like to read about other people. So if people have true stories, I think people are interested. You don't have to be a movie star for someone to be interested in a good story and how you survived that, because I think people really use that for help because they want. Sometimes some people have no idea that other people have the same situation. And if you help one person, you've helped a lot of people. Do you know what I mean? In my mind,
well,
I think.
Especially in cases of abuse, I think.
Yes.
Abuse, people who are abused really feel alone.
Yeah.
And so just the idea that, hey, you're not alone, other people have been through this, you're not crazy, that's huge for people.
Because people always think that men don't get abused, but they do mentally.
Exactly.
And they don't
Yeah, right. And that's important to talk about. Because, you know, men don't. Women, we go to lunch with friends and we talk about different things, but men don't do that a lot. So I think that sometimes they keep things inside. So when you bring out what happened to you, I think that, you know, people will listen to that because it's important to hear that they're not alone.
Yeah, I think people have come to the point where they understand that abuse is everywhere around us yet, but I think...
Yeah.
It takes people telling their stories, and I think a lot more people are going to need to tell their stories, but awareness is the first step.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And unhappy lives, you know, I mean, people can base it on, they can base their story and still talk about it by saying it's based on facts, because sometimes you don't want to say it's you writing this, you know, about something that may be a little touchy. So, but if you write it based on, I mean, you can get what you're feeling out, but it doesn't necessarily reflect only on the author that wrote it. It's just on the character.
Yeah, that's the point too, because when I was first marketing my book, I was never going to tell anybody that was based on my life. It was going to be 100% fiction.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm too out there.
Yeah.
I'm too out there. So I had to spew
well, you're honest.
That was my entire life, you know, and it's not fiction.
You were honest about it, that's all.
Yeah, you were honest about it, and you knew what you did. You knew what happened in your life, and it wasn't something you were – just life happens. I mean, that's all you can say is life happens. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is perfect on everything we do. And, you know, the two of you bonded because of that. So I think that more people, you know, if they started writing down things that they felt, that they might feel better instead of
absolutely.
Feeling
right. Yeah.
You know, because it's sad
it's
sometimes
cathartic.
When you look at – Yeah, when you look at Facebook, you see some of these people. They're very sad. They're, you know, there's a lot of sad people out there, and it's really, it's very frightening sometimes when you go down and you scroll down the whole day and you're going like, oh, my God, because I meant that. It's true. There are people really calling out for help in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, it might not be for everybody to write a book, but it might. That's why it is for people to read about other people that have had. But the genre type. See, that's the problem with you know, when you write a book and there's a few subjects, it's getting it to the right audience. That's hard.
Exactly.
Very tricky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Finding people that can relate and that are going through it, and really getting it out there. So you know, but I found that people, you know, you start talking about real serious matters, you know, life matters, and people, even if they haven't gone through what you've gone through, they can relate in some way, and, you know, in their own story, and I think that's how they connect, because they feel that it's real, you know, and you're putting it out there. So I think it you know, it humanizes all of us by something that's so, you know, so real.
Well, right, which is, you know, TV does that a lot now, more than they used to. And, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, with all these new cop shows and, you know, the fire shows, you know, and a lot of stuff that, you know, comes out about characters do happen to policemen and to firemen and to a lot of different people, but they're really showing it now, you know, and I think it's helping other people because they can see it right there on the screen, you know. And so I think all the help is necessary, you know. I mean, this is what I, you know, because writing is really important, and it's certainly, if it's just because it's fiction, doesn't mean that you can't really have all the emotional feelings of a nonfiction book either. You know, and it's about characters. It's writing good characters.
Yeah. And both our books read like fiction.
You know, and in John's situation, I mean, he was physically being abused, you know, by his wife. And, you know, most men don't talk about something like that.
That's
and
exactly
it was happening,
right.
You know, over and over again.
Right.
And he was dealing with that, and he had to live with the burden because, you know, he had a child. He, that was a hard thing to deal with. And so it's kind of an interesting topic because you don't really hear about a man being abused where a woman's actually beating on him, you know, abusing
there are a lot. I'm sure, John, you've heard from people, I'm sure, that happened to
him. You know,
my
goodness.
Yeah.
Well, and they want to talk about it, too, especially the guys, because they have no one to talk to about it, you know?
So I think,
you're putting it out there.
Yeah, that might be an interesting show. You know, if John, if anybody, I don't know if they want to come on the radio, but if they did, you know, I'd be happy to do a show like that about, you know, relationships. They don't ever have to give their name either, you know, if they didn't want to. But I think that might be a good discussion group to hear what other, you know, men are saying, because I think that's something that they don't talk about, you know, and I think it would be beneficial for other men to hear that they may be in a relationship like that but are embarrassed to say it. So I
don't have to show their face on the radio.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. No, exactly. You know, it's true. Nobody knows what anybody looks like or what they are. You know, anybody can put a picture. Who knows who anybody is? That's the thing. You know all these people really well, but that you're talking to. But you know what? If it's not their picture and you maybe in the same city with them, you could be standing next to them. You might not know it's them. You know,
exactly.
So you know, this is a kind of a different way to have a life. Are Jeffrey, anything you want to ask Brenda while, you know, I know you have some questions? Or...
when is she going to, the next piece, the next work, the next story, so I can read it?
Well, tell her not to stop writing. That's what we're trying to do, tell her not to stop writing.
Jump out of the game.
That's so sweet.
Don't go out of the game. It is a game, you know, but it's not, it's, you know, it. You know, listen, you have a lot to talk about. You don't only have to write, you know, you can just write whatever you want because it's interesting.
Articles, there's so many other things she could just get out there.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So don't, she knows how I tell her that all the time. I know. You know, I mean, but she's great at organizing things. You're great at organizing events. You're great at organizing marketing, you know. And, you know, half the people out there, they're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I think that if you ever decide to do that, let us know. Because we're interested. It is hard. It's very, you know, the events. So, all right, here's a question. I are the events good? I mean, giving away free books, doing all this, because I know you've done several of them, and it's very hard. I don't think people realize how much work goes into it.
It's, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm a big fan. I like the hoopla. You know, it's kind of like having a birthday party, like John's going to have his on the 12th, you know, on Facebook.
When is it? On the 12th? What is it? Is that a Sunday? When is that? No, wait. The 12th. It's
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. What time is it? Thursday. No, I'm
7 Central.
Okay.
That's 6 for me, right? 6 Pacific Standard Time.
All right. So what have you got planned for this hoopla, as you call it? What have you got planned? What's going on?
Well, I'm giving away I guess my catalog. We're going to do some games.
Giving away your music?
Yeah, and the grand prize is all three books and both CDs.
Oh, really? That's good.
So it'll be kind of fun.
Are you going to play games?
We'll do games, and we'll have a couple of surprises.
Imaginary cocktails.
And imaginary cocktails.
Right. It's silly, but it's fun, too, and people get
fun.
A kick out of it.
If I go, I want to drink with an umbrella in it, and I'm not going to be there.
No. It's funny.
Well, have one for that.
But the events, you know, it is difficult to plan them because it's not just, hello, how are you? It takes time. I remember the one you did with Kim, I think that you did 3 days. And I even said to Kim, for the publisher, I said, are you crazy? 3 days. Oh, my God. That was really hard. 3 days. That's like really tough.
It's a lot. It's a lot of work, and especially that leading up to it's a lot of work. But it's a good way to meet people. The problem that I find is mostly who you're meeting are other authors, and that's a whole other story.
Yes,
you know, you might have a couple
that is,
of readers.
Well, that is the story. There are no. That's it. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that go in, they just want the free books, and then they're done. Goodbye. That's it.
You know, and the thing that really bothered me more than any of it is this is something silly, because you give a book away and, you know, you send it to the person, and what they do, they can go to Amazon and trade it in.
Oh, yeah.
And that made me crazy. That, because I was giving away a ton of books until that happened, and I said, forget it.
Yep.
I didn't like that. Even if you're talking about a $3.99 book and they're going in and they're trading it in, that to me was tacky. So that, I kind of got turned off. I stopped giving away so many books.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I was doing a lot of them for people, and I was giving books away, and they go like, oh, I'm fine, I'll give I'll give a paperback, a few of them. So by the time that I sent them out, somewhere from the UK, I'm thinking like, oh, my God, it costs like $30, $30 or $40.
That's
I'm
crazy,
thinking like, I don't even know these people. I have no idea who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, an e-book is one thing, but when you're giving paperbacks and, you know, and then you're, because I thought, oh, fine, I'll just get paperbacks. But then I didn't realize, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, my God, I don't know who they are, you know, and I'm giving them and I'm sending them all over the place. So that's, you know. And then you never hear from them afterwards a lot of times.
Right.
So, I'm not sure this is, you know, it's not my favorite thing is events like that. I think that's one of the things. I think people are afraid if they say events from World of Ink, we're not giving anything away. And, you know, that's why it comes across as an event. And I don't know another way to do this. So it's, you know, because of you're trying to get people that might not see your show anymore because they don't even know because they're not getting it through Facebook. So if you have an event, they'll see it. But it's not really an event. That's a difficult thing. And so I sometimes do them myself, and then I decide not to. But now I notice Facebook did it from Blog Talk. So I guess there's, you know, I don't know because I don't want to drive people crazy.
Some people like going to Goodreads, and you do have, like, you give away a certain amount of books, and it has to be paperbacks. So maybe you give one, two paperbacks, but you make a big thing about it. So that way you might get some readers, and you might get a little bit of a buzz. But I wouldn't go giving too much away because you don't get it back. And I'm always telling John that, too, because he's too generous. And it makes me crazy because you don't get it back. You're not.
Yeah, I just used to do it because I felt like somebody would say, oh, okay, you know, we need some books for the party. I go, fine. Even go to the party at the time, and I'm giving the books, but you know, but I think there must be another way. I think John is right. The readers, and I've heard this many times, and it is that's definitely who you want is readers.
I talk to a lot of people.
Yeah, you have to hang with readers. That's probably the best thing to do. You know, they're interested, you know, and, you know, and the other thing that I sometimes say now, which I think a lot of times people think that, okay, if you don't have a book coming out, that people aren't that interested. Well, guess what? Dr. Seuss and all these people from the past, their books are still selling. So I think that if someone has a book from a couple years ago, it could be new to somebody else. So don't think that anything that's from 2 years ago is not a good book, because you just might not have seen it. You know, it's like all of the time.
You can have a re-release in digital, in Kindle, in an e-book.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That is true. That's a good idea, re-release. That maybe I should try that instead of all these new covers. Keep trying. You know, it's me, you know, and I'm not, this is it. I'm not going to really do too much more. I was going to do one, but I'm not even sure that. And I'm writing now. So, I mean, but I think that, you know, all of the ways that we're thinking of, the best thing still is to write the best story you can.
That's it.
So are you working on a novel?
Me? Yeah. Yeah. I'm working. Well, I do.
So you're doing another novel.
It's a novel from a screenplay, but, you know, the problem is, well, it's not a problem, though, because I really am finding, I think it's a good exercise for people. When they take a screenplay and then they write a book, you see all the problems that your screenplay had of what emotion isn't there or what is there or maybe this character doesn't work. Well, you might not see it as much when you're doing the screenplay because when you write that screenplay, you're just doing it from the here and now and you don't sometimes go back and think about the character. And a lot of times when you see a movie or something, you don't even know about the character. And I think if you give the character some defining, some things that are theirs alone, it makes it a much better movie because you like the character and the things he does. He's not just a character. He means something. And you get that through a book. So when you do
right.
it that way, you really find out things. And I, you know, one of my favorite screenplays that I did, I'm not sure that I like the beginning now, the end, because the way I'm writing it now in the book is the way I saw it at the beginning. But after a lot of rewrites, which anybody that writes a screenplay knows, with a screenplay you could do like 20 rewrites and you're never happy. And like you said, you have to sometimes stop. But then when you go back and you see it, you go like, well, you know, this, I don't think this works that well and this character doesn't work. So it's kind of an interesting thing when you do both. But no, I am writing a book and children's books I love, but I've talked to so many people. It's really tough market for children's books. They don't sell, and it's not because people are writing books that aren't good. It's that I don't know what happened to the market as well. You know, that's why I'm saying about older books because I still think those books sell really well on, you know, on Kindle or paperback, and they're not brand new books. They're years ago. But it's a good story. So I think people don't care that, like, maybe your book didn't sell this year. Maybe next year it will.
So you're saying don't give up hope. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, because my
don't
love changes. The truth is my love changes. I did change the ending and because when I first wrote it, it was a screenplay. And I changed it to a different ending. And actually, Fidelity Publishing, I mean, it's actually selling now much better than it ever did. You know, because sometimes you have to change something. You know, it wasn't right, and I knew it when I did it, but I wrote it from a screenplay. And so when I changed it, it does sell more. And it was a good story. I liked the story. I always did. But the ending, I knew I should have changed it, and I did. So I think that, you know, sometimes you can make changes, you know, because people really like a happy ending to everything. They do.
And in the switchboard, Masha, in the switchboard, do you want to extend the show? Show's 2 minutes left. Do you want to go on the switchboard?
No, I have it 2 hours. I have it 2 hours.
I got two. It shows me two. There we go. It just switched over. Good. Okay, sorry about that.
No, it always does. No, it always does. But we never do 2 hours. After last week we did a show for over an hour, and then I talked to Elizabeth. She says, oh, we should have done more. I'm thinking like, no, because the problem of doing a two-hour show is that, you know, people, you want them to listen. But I'm not sure people have 2 hours to listen to shows these days. You know, everybody's busy watching The Voice. And American Idol and all
that. I'm going to watch.
The Voice, yeah. I know. I do, too.
American Idol.
That's the good thing. I do, too. Yeah. I have them recorded. Funny. You know, the problem is these days is I have so many things recorded, and then I have Netflix. It's like, what do you watch? It's like, oh, my God.
There's not enough hours in the day, right?
I like Netflix. I love it. You know, and I've talked about that before. I love the fact that you can just keep binging. That's what people do. I haven't finished the third House of Cards, but I haven't binged it because I think I am busy.
Marsha, I got a quick question for John about music of fellow musicians. John, I play a Fender Jazz. I've got a 65 pre-CBS. Do you have a recording studio set up in your house? My musician friends do. They got it now with the digital age. It's amazing what you can do. With, you know, no more four tracks. You can do 16, 32 tracks in your basement.
Yeah, I have sort of a laughable setup, but I have 24 tracks Wow. Here, and my musician friends sort of laugh at me because I'm so limited, but it's plenty for me.
Wonderful. I remember the days of hooking up a MIDI cable to the side of an old keyboard. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had MIDI and sync and, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, music is the best way to get people together. I think, you know, remembering a song, thinking of what you did other time, I that's why I think, you know, when they do movies and they do shows on TV, you remember the songs. That's why we all, like you're saying, we like The Voice because it's different songs from all the different times, but they're young people singing them, and it's great, you know, and it's great that they have these shows because I think it's a really good way. These people are getting such, you know, so much, you know, they're getting out there, and, you know, it's, I wish they did that for writers. It would be very, really interesting.
They're changing lives in the middle of nowhere, and they're changing lives, and these people are so talented.
It's unbelievable.
You know?
Especially The Voice. The Voice is very talented. They're exceptionally talented, you know, and it's no fooling around. All these people are good, and hopefully some of them will really make it. Listen, writing, music, whatever you do, this is an art and entertainment, and it's hard. But the truth is, you can't give up. I really am a big believer in that. That's why I've done this for so long. I think that just keep going, and you can't stop. And that's why don't throw away things that were your books from 3 years ago thinking, oh, I didn't write a new book. No, just start, like, you're right, Jeff. Just do a re-release. That's a good idea to do it that way. And then it's new to other people. There's always new people on Facebook, on Amazon, on Smashwords. Smashwords, you know, we had the owner of Smashwords on, and he was wonderful, but I really like him, but I don't sell, like, you know, some people sell great on Smashwords, but I mostly do the Amazon. Does anybody, is everybody on Smashwords? Are you on Smashwords?
I'm not, and I know some people do really well, but
yeah,
I've never
do.
Gone on Smashwords.
See, the thing about
I
Smashwords.
I started out on Smashwords.
You're on Smashwords? Are you on, John?
That's how I started out.
Yeah, Smashwords.
When I first, before I had a publisher and all that kind of stuff, I just threw my book out there on Smashwords for free.
See that? Yeah, because, and he was so nice, Mark. He was on the show, and they started it for that reason, to get people to, you know, just read other people's books that were good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think a lot of people don't know how to buy on Smashwords, or they don't know how, you know, even when they get a free code, you know, because...
Right, they don't know how, like, they're intimidated by it because it's something different. It's kind of like the people that can't leave reviews because they've never done it before.
Yeah.
You know, you ask for a review on Amazon, and so it's intimidating until you've learned to do it. And so, Smashwords is like that.
Well, I know.
Yeah, I still don't completely understand it.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that Smashwords, you know, some people really do great on it. And they do. I've had them on the show. They do really good. And he, the owner of it, I mean, they're trying. They're putting it in libraries. They're doing lots of different things. So I think, you know, as we go on, people will keep, you know, doing new things, like you said, Brenda. And it is hard to keep following it because you do have to keep changing. But when you do, you got to change everything else because it has to go linked together because otherwise you're all over the place. So, you know, there's nothing we could say. We just do the marketing, but we also got to do the writing because that's the most important part. All right, so let's see. John, you want to just give your link of where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm just at www.johnemilaugustine.com.
Yes, okay. And Brenda?
Everything's there.
And BrendaPerlin.com. Yeah. And then you'll see each of my blog or all my pages. So Perlin, like Berlin, but with a P.
I know. See, like, that's what I did. Now I have MarciaCasperCook.com. But so I'm trying to do that instead of, but we do the worldofinknetwork.com, you know. But we're, you know, basically it's good to have your name because that's what has to get out there, you know, the branding. All right. RJ, what about you?
It's pretty easy. I mean, I'm in so many different, you know, Marcia, you know what my days are like. So the it's just to Google R.J. Jeffries, J-E-F-F-R-E, and all the couple of pages, and you'll see everything.
Yeah, I know. See, that is the thing. But the problem with that is when you go on and Google yourself, you see some of the, if somebody clicks something, it may not be the same website or the same thing because it stays where it is a lot of times, except for the website, but other things, articles and stuff come across, you go like, well, that was a long time ago. They do stay on there. They don't leave.
But my point is, Marcia, it brings them to Ferret, it brings them to my blog, it brings them to my website, it brings them to the link, Facebook. You bring them all the places that I have all of them.
Exactly. I know. It is difficult to say all the things. That's why now I'm just going, Marcia Casper Cook, that's who I am, and that's the way it is, whatever. I'm so happy that you two came on again, you know, and you know that you both are always welcome. And Brenda, you're not giving up writing. And John, I hope this book is very successful for you. And I hope, think about it, though, because I mean it, if you can get some of your readers that want to come in and talk about this, that's fine. It could be men, women, whatever, and they want to talk about that subject, because the World of Ink, we do subjects like that because we have family matters. And, you know, so I'll be happy to have them on because I think it's an important thing to talk about. So just let me know.
Cool. I'll put something together for you and send you a little message.
Yeah, that's good. All right, good. All right, and thank everybody for listening to The World of Ink and listen to our shows because they are unique and we have a lot of good people doing shows. And good night, everybody. Yes, and everybody can go watch. They can take the recordings from The Voice.
That's right.
If we could get the people from The Voice on, now that would be good. They're very busy.
Yeah, they come on, too.
They're busy. Oh, my God. Think about how much work they do. It's a lot. But, yeah. All right. So good night, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
for joining. Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, RJ.
Bye.
Bye-bye.